so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the faith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I'm
last verse.
Sweet hour of rest. Sweet hour of rest. Thy wings come on. The day shall break. Till Hebrews is true. And faithfulness engage the waiting soul to rest. And searching bids me seek His face, believe His word, and trust.
Standing as the master comes.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low.
If I am with thee, peace be still in all of thy heaven glow. Jesus, 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 sweetest. Strapped across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again.
For it is
Jesus, 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 sweetest thing I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, and that is why I shout and sing.
For it is
Jesus, 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 sweetest.
Trials fall across the way.
Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest thing I know. Fills my every heart. Beyond the starry skies, I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high.
For it is
Jesus, 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 sweetest thing I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Thank you.
melody there. Heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody I love. I love when Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there.
What a day, glorious day.
Jesus, I shall see.
When I look upon his face,
the one who saves me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
What a day, glorious day that will be.
Father, thank you for this time of the service. We thank you, Lord, for communion. And Lord, we want to continue in the apostles, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And so, Lord, to continue what the early church has started and what you have commissioned us to do, Lord, we partake of your supper today. We ask, Lord, that you would make this a meaningful time to us and for us as we gather around your table. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus must keep me near the Calvary's power.
Same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Let's just take a couple moments of silent prayer to examine our hearts. If there is anything in your life that you need to confess of, now would be the opportunity to do that. Let's judge ourselves that we might not be judged. Jesus broke the bread and he held it up and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Bob Shackleton, would you ask the blessing on that which represents our Lord's body?
Father, we thank you for this, the emblem of the body, which was broken for us. For the stripes that you took on that body, for our healing, that which was shed from that body, as the Spirit moves aside. We thank you for this time in the service, for this time in our lives, when we remember that which was accomplished for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Let's partake together. The cup represents a new covenant, a new testament, a better covenant. The old was fulfilled, and a brand new one was given. Given because Jesus was willing to shed his blood for not only the forgiveness, but the remission, the doing away of our sins. Pastor Craig, would you ask the blessing upon the cup this morning?
Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed. That we no longer have to sacrifice animals, but you are the one true sacrifice. Lord, that you not only covered our sins, but you forgot about them and you have taken them away from us. We thank you, Lord, for that gift that you have given us, that all that we need to do is believe in you and receive. Just bless us as we drink of this. Lord, if there's, not any, if there's someone here that does not know you, we pray, Lord Jesus, that today they would come to know you.
Let's drink together.
Like me. It's a privilege to be able to honor those today that have completed graduation, high school, college, or technical school. We have homeschoolers, and we have public schoolers. We have college grads, and we just like to recognize them this morning. So would the graduates come forward? All the graduates. Maybe you guys would like to stand up here in front of the pulpit so everybody can see you. What I would like to do is give them the microphone and let them, I think most of you know who they are, but maybe give your name. If you had any honors that you graduated with, you could let us know that. And then briefly what your plans are.
Well, my name is Mai Lewis, and hopefully I'm going into cosmetology school either this fall or next spring.
My name is Steve Inlow, and I'm homeschooled, and just like to thank my parents for helping me out. I'll be a professional pilot, hopefully.
So. My name is Mark Burton. I graduated from St. Chris Central, and my dad wants me to say that I graduated with honors. And, I have been called into the ministry a long time ago, and I feel calling to be a youth evangelist, and not many colleges really offer a major in youth evangelism, so I plan on going to North Central in the fall, and I'm going to major in youth ministries, and I'm going to take a few evangelist courses, and hopefully God will open the doors, because I know He will.
My name is Kyle Lewis. I was the valedictorian of my class. I'm homeschooled. I don't know. Like Mark, I was called into the ministry from years ago when I was 12, actually. And since then, I've been, this past spring, I worked with a, Book of Hope International, which is a missions organization. And this fall, again, I'm going to go back and do another internship with them. And sooner or later, I'm going to end up in Turkey. That's where God called me to be a missionary for Him. So that's really what my focus is, just trying to get there.
My name is Carl Hagen. I also graduated valedictorian of my class. And I'm going to be going into engineering.
I'm Nick Samuelstead. I graduated from St. Croix Central with Mark. And I'm planning on attending North Central University, and I'm majoring in youth ministry and like minoring in pastoral studies or something like that. I don't know yet. So
I'm Kelly Burton. I graduated from North Central with cum laude, which is honors, and I was also a member of PsyCHI, which is the National Honor Society of Psychology Students. And right now, I'm working at East Suburban Resources with handicapped people, training them to go into the community and get community jobs and consumers, as Aaron wants me to call them. And I'm planning on staying there for a couple years, but I was called El Salvador, so my ultimate goal is to make it there someday.
I graduated from St. Paul Technical College as an esthetician, which is a skincare therapist, and I will be working at the El Shaddai House, which is a Christian salon in Hudson, and I'll be doing facials and makeup and stuff, and I start on Tuesday. It's my first day. So, oh, I'm Christy Burton.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for each of them standing before us today. They have achieved a milestone in their life. We thank You for the work that You are calling them to do. We pray Your blessing and Your anointing upon each one of them. Lord, I pray the prayer of Jabez over them, that You would bless them indeed, abundantly, above all that they could ask or think. I pray, Lord, that You would enlarge their coasts, extend their borders. give them ministry opportunities that would be expanded for your honor and for your glory. I pray, Lord, that your hand would rest upon them, that you would anoint each of them for the life callings that you are giving them. And, Lord, I pray that you would keep them from temptation. Lord, the hour of temptation that comes into the world can be such a strong pull. And as we experience the blessing of God, our tendency is to rely upon our own strength. Lord, when we do that, we know that we surely fail. And so I pray that for each one of them, they would depend upon you totally, that their prayer every day would be, "Give us this day my daily bread," that you would lead them and guide them on a daily basis. And Lord, at the end of their life, they would look back, as the Apostle Paul did on his, and say that they have finished the race, they have run the course, and that henceforth there would be laid up for them a crown of righteousness. Lord, these rewards that we gain here upon earth are nothing to be compared to the rewards that we will have in heaven because we serve you faithfully. May each one hear the words from you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Congratulations, everyone. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Thought I would direct the message today toward those who are graduating, have graduated, but also I believe it will apply to all of our lives this morning. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we ask your blessing and your anointing upon your word this morning. We ask it in the precious name of your dear Son, Jesus. Amen. Those that have stood before us today have achieved high school, college, or technical school graduation, and probably concerned about their life work. And rightly so, they face many questions at this time in their lives. Now that you have graduated, what do you plan to do? Should I go on to school to get more training? What kind of schooling do I need to secure my future? How can I be sure I found the right life work? Or how can I know God's will for my life? Should I stay at home or should I move to another location? There are all kinds of questions that need to be answered at that age and that point in time in life. And as Christians, we want to, of course, discover God's will in these matters. Understanding your life calling will help you make wise decisions. Decisions concerning education, your life work, your marriage partner, your priorities. But let me warn you that vocations in themselves do not bring true fulfillment. And so this morning, I'm not going to focus so much on the vocation as upon the life calling. What God wants to accomplish in your life, what God is calling you to do. First of all, understand that life callings guide all other decisions. Life callings guide all other decisions. There are five important terms. If we properly understand them, they will give correction and direction and clarity to our life concerning the decisions that we have to make. Those who do not understand the concept behind these terms will tend to be confused about their life work, and they'll be overly concerned about finding the right job. Those who understand them will see their life work, their jobs, in a new perspective that I believe would be freeing to them. First of all, as we look at these terms, these five terms, we want to define them for you this morning. First of all, your life purpose. The first term is life purpose. Your purpose in life is to glorify God. Your life purpose is to glorify God. You can only have one true purpose in life. and that is to glorify God. This is the ultimate purpose for which you were created. Ephesians 1:12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory. The word glory in the Greek is doxeo, from which we get our word doxology. The meaning of the word is to magnify, to extol, to praise, and to ascribe honor. Your life is to be a doxology to God. In that way, you will glorify Him. There are a number of things that we can do to glorify God. We glorify Him when we offer Him praise. We glorify Him when we thank Him for deliverance. We glorify Him when we honor His name. We glorify Him when we declare His mighty works. We glorify Him when we produce lasting fruit. We glorify Him when we do good works. We glorify Him when we live in purity. We glorify Him when we give sacrificially. We glorify Him when we suffer reproach for Christ's sake. So your purpose in life is the same for everybody. The purpose in life is to glorify God, to do those things which bring glory to Him. The second term that we want to look at this morning is your life goal. Your life goal. The life goal is also the same for everybody. The life goal is to turn many to righteousness. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Our goal should be to win people to Christ. I would challenge you to make your goal to win somebody to the Lord. And then after you have won somebody to the Lord, make it your goal to win as many people as you can for Jesus. Make that your goal. Sadly, many Christians have never led anybody else to the Lord. In fact, I heard one statistic that said 90% of Christians have never led anybody else to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And yet that should be our goal in life, to get to heaven and take as many people as we can with us. Some people don't even know how. If it comes to leading somebody to the Lord, they have to call somebody else and have them usher that person into the presence of God. I just very briefly share with you right now, very simply, how you can lead a person to Christ. Number one, look for ways to demonstrate Christ's love to them. Good works precede good words. Good works precede good words. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then number two, use the law to bring about conviction. A sinner will not understand his need for salvation until he realizes that he has broken God's law and is deserving of eternal judgment in hell. The law of Christ tells us in Galatians is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The schoolmaster was not a teacher, but rather the schoolmaster was a trusted slave who would bring a child of nobility to the teacher. And then number three, explain the gospel and ask for a decision. Many people stop at asking for a decision. They explain the gospel, but they stop short of asking people, are you ready to receive Christ? Are you willing to receive Christ at this point in time in your life? You might have heard about the Romans Road. Very simply, that and very easily, you can take somebody through the book of Romans to explain the gospel. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. How many have sinned? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of that sin is death. And you just share with people the scriptures and you say, you have sinned, and you show them how they've sinned by breaking God's law. And the wages of that sin, what you deserve because of that sin, is death. But God has provided a way for you to escape that death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then you could take them to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Make it your goal to lead somebody to the Lord. We're planning some outings that we hope are going to make it a little bit easier for you. We've been talking with Rex and some others, and we're doing some things to we think will help us draw a crowd, and we want to go street witnessing and minister to people. How many think you'd like to be involved in something like that? Amen. Your life calling is the next aspect of the message this morning. The people to whom God will send you to serve, that is the majority part of the message. We'll come back to that. Your life work. Your life work is the job that you will have that will help you fulfill your life calling. Your life work is any legitimate job that will allow you to fulfill your life's calling. It doesn't have to be a job of great prestige, because your recognition will not be by your life work, but by your life calling. For example, Paul was called to be an apostle, but his life work was that of tent making. Nehemiah was called to serve the remnant, but his life work was the king's cupbearer. Peter was called to lead the early church and to serve the early church, but his life work was fishing. Elisha was called to serve Elijah, but his life work was farming. Luke was called to serve Paul, but his life work was being a physician. It's the calling that is the major thing in life. It's the most important thing, the life calling. And then finally, you will have a life message, an account of how your calling was fulfilled. Your life message will include rhemas of Scripture, testimonies, people who have helped you, miracles, and supernatural ways God has answered prayer and given provisions. And so understand, first of all, that life callings guide all other callings and decisions. Number two, practical steps to discover your life calling. Here are some practical things that you can do to discover what is your calling. What is God calling you to do with your life? Number one, develop the mindset of a champion runner. Paul had this mindset. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Believers are called to be disciples. A disciple is a disciplined one. The daily disciplines of the Christian life are vital to discovering and fulfilling your life calling. Each discipline carries with it a special promise to those who keep them. If you have a piece of paper and a pencil, I would encourage you to write these down. Because as you do these things, you will discover what God is calling you to do, but it will also bring a promise of reward. So I'm going to give you the discipline and the reward for doing that discipline. Okay? Rising early. Early will I seek thee to see thy power and thy glory. Psalm 63, 1 and 2. The discipline of rising early will bring the result of seeing God's power and God's glory. Reading Scripture. Desire the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. When you read Scripture, you will grow. You will be mature. You will be completed in Jesus Christ. The discipline of memorizing Scripture. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, verse 11. You memorize Scripture so that you have victory in life, victory over temptation, so that you're able to be a victorious Christian and live an overcoming life. Meditating on Scripture. Psalm 1:3 tells you that whatsoever you do will prosper. You want to be successful in your life work, you want to be successful in your life calling, you have the discipline of meditating on Scripture. You make that a part of your discipleship life. And then prayer. Pray in secret. The Father will reward you openly. Matthew 6:6. Fasting. Fast in secret. Again, be rewarded openly. Matthew 6:18. Giving. When we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully, 2 Corinthians 9:6. And then honoring the Lord's Day. When you discipline yourself to honor the Lord's Day and to put the Lord first on His day, Isaiah 58 verse 14 gives this promise that you will ride upon the high places of the earth. A runner must keep his eye on the goal, and he must not be discouraged when hardships or distractions come his way. Yeah, there's going to be hardships in life. There are going to be distractions. There are going to be temptations along the way. But you can overcome those. You can fulfill the challenge of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so the first thing in fulfilling, in finding your life calling, develop the mindset of a champion runner. And then number two, embrace the power of the cross. Embrace the power of the cross. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. If I were to offer you today $10,000 or an undefined cross, what would you choose? Most people obviously would take the money. But what if I told you that whichever one you choose would bring power? If you chose the money, you would have power with men simply because of the value of the money. But if you chose the cross, you would have the power of God. The cross contains the power of God. The cross is affirmed in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. One of the most important functions of the power is to free us from the death grip of worldliness. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Today the church is despised because multitudes of believers do not have the power of the cross to withstand the world, the flesh, or the devil. The world sees Christians living defeated lives, and they don't see the power of the cross in our lives. Messages of the cross are being replaced with talks about how to be relevant to our society, which, by the way, is evil and adulterous. Many Christians are even removing the cross in order not to offend unbelievers who attend. But removing the message of the cross, we hide the true cost of discipleship and remove the power of God. The cross is the central factor in following Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In the Gospels, we have an example of a true seeker coming to Christ for eternal life. He says to Jesus, what good thing may I do that I might inherit eternal life? Jesus emphasized the need for that seeker to take up his cross. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross. Take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Harsh words Jesus has for those who are ashamed of the cross. He said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Embrace the power of the cross. Embrace the power of the cross. Be willing to pick up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Be willing to suffer for Him if need be, because in that suffering, there is power. And if you have to choose between money and the cross, you will win if you choose the cross. Always choose the cross. Always choose the way of Christ. Always choose the way of discipleship, even if it costs you something. the preparation for taking up the cross. The same outlook that Jesus had toward his cross must be the outlook we have for our lives and the particular cross that he entrusts to us. I think it's significant that Jesus didn't tell us to pick up his cross. He told us to pick up our cross. You know that your cross is going to be different than my cross? We all have crosses to bear, but they're not the same. They're different. Each believer has various burdens to bear. Some we bear individually, and others we need the help of fellow believers, just as Jesus did in bearing his cross. Galatians 6, 2 through 5, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. See, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. And verse 5 says, every man shall bear his own burden. There are some burdens that you're going to have to carry by yourself. Only Jesus knows and only Jesus understands. He'll be there with you. But there are other burdens that we are called to come alongside of and help you carry. Preparations for taking up the cross include to finish God's work for us. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. The preparation for cross-bearing includes the willingness and being able to shoulder family responsibilities rather than to expect freedom to enjoy friends and outside activities. Jesus was known as the carpenter's son. Jesus learned that trade, and he worked hard and diligently at becoming a carpenter himself. It includes engrafting scripture rather than relying on philosophies of human reasoning. It includes doing nothing of our own will, but only the will of the Heavenly Father. It includes dedicating our lives to serve people rather than expecting people to serve us. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. What it actually means to take up the cross. If you want to do something sometime, if you want to practice that one discipline of meditation, go to the portion of Scripture where you find Christ's struggle from Pilate's court to the hill of Calvary. Consider the cross that he had to bear. It all comes down to this. There comes a point in time in every believer's life where they have to choose to die to themselves and take up their cross, or else they will not be able to withstand the pressures and the temptations that will certainly come into their life. There comes a point in time where it's really a point of no return. The point of no return is necessary for us to understand our life calling. It not only gives us the power of God, but is also the basis for our conquering Satan. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, because they loved not their lives unto the death. If you want to be successful in life, young people, you need to be willing to pick up your cross and follow Christ. That will help you understand your life calling. Number 3, consider the spiritual needs and concerns of your parents. Solomon gave this testimony in 1 Kings chapter 5. Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. Some of the clearest evidences of a life calling are the circumstances, frustrations, problems, and unfulfilled goals that God has placed around you while you were growing up. Those God-directed irritants to provoke you unto love and good works. If you fail to see them as indicators of a life calling, they will, on the other hand, produce disillusionment, bitterness, and defeat. If you grow up in a home where your parents got divorced, you might have a calling to help couples work at their marriages and stay together. If you grew up in a home where you had an older brother or sister, then when they hit the teenage years, rebelled, you might have a life calling to reach out to teenagers. So that doesn't happen to others and in other families. See, God puts us in these situations so that our hearts are softened to these. And many times, those are the things in life that He calls us to do. Those are the callings of ministry that are available to us. On the other hand, I've seen people who rejected that calling and they became bitter at God for the circumstances that He allowed into their homes and in their lives when they were growing up. Consider the unfulfilled dreams of your parents, or consider the circumstances around you as you're growing up. They may be the calling that God is placing upon your heart. And then, number four, evaluate the potential of your spiritual gifts. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. God gives every believer spiritual gifts in order to carry out His life calling. Number five, search out the critical needs of fellow believers. Nehemiah's life calling. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2. Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah developed a personal concern for the welfare of God's people. How many times have we been in a church service or in a missionary service, and the missionary lays out the needs of the people that he serves? And immediately our heart feels a burden for those same people and for those same needs. God brings things into our life, and we see critical needs that people have, and many times those needs become the direction of our life calling. It took initiative to find out about their physical and spiritual condition for Nehemiah, but when he learned of their desperate plight, he made it his personal responsibility to seek a way to help them. Helping them became his life calling. His life work was serving the king, but his life calling took precedence. And God gave him temporary leave of absence. Also gave him a letter of authorization and the resources from the treasury to carry out his life calling. And then confirm life callings with the rhemas of God's word. A life calling will be confirmed by the Holy Spirit through specific passages of Scripture that He uses to illuminate our hearts and minds. Jesus explained that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There are two Greek words, terms that are both translated word. The first is logos, and the second is rhema. The entire Bible is the infallible logos of God. It is inspired and without error. But as we read and study the logos, the Holy Spirit guides us to particular passages that have specific application to our lives. Those are rhemas. These rhemas are extremely important in confirming God's calling for our lives. An example of a rhema, I'll just give you one. Jesus' instruction to Peter to launch out into the deep and to let down the nets. Peter explained that they had fished all night and had caught nothing. But then he added in Luke 5:5, nevertheless, at thy word, at thy rhema, at your word to me, I will let down the net. As you read the scripture, God will just make certain verses leap off the page and said, this is a verse that I want you to personally take for your life. It's a rhema, it's a word of God to you for your life. And we need to search those out, and we need to be aware of when God gives us those rhemas, because they will shape the direction of our life calling. And then begin by fulfilling general life callings. If you have not identified a specific life calling, you should begin to concentrate on the general life callings that are given to every believer. Time is slipping away. Number three, in questions about life callings. Life callings. They'll help us make decisions for the other callings and decisions in life. I gave you some practical ways to understand life callings or the ministry that God has for you. You know, every one of you have a life calling. You should all be involved in some kind of ministry. It's more important than your life work. And yet most people don't know what God really wants out of them. They don't know what their calling in life is. I would just encourage you to do all diligence to find out what God wants you to do. What is your calling? What is your purpose in life? You'll only find true satisfaction and happiness as you fulfill that life calling. I'm convinced of it. I'd just like to end with these questions about life callings. Do callings come later in life? Sometimes they do, but not always. Samson was called to serve Israel as a child. John the Baptist was given a call even before he was born. David was anointed as a youth to lead Israel. I've had young people, I've had children know that they were called to ministry. We have Kyle today. He knows what particular group of people he is called to minister to. God wants to make that clear in our lives. Sometimes he does that as children. Sometimes he calls when we're youth. Sometimes he lets that calling be known later in life. But every single one of you has a life calling. Is there a difference between receiving a call and being sent out to fulfill it? Yes, Jesus said, but many are called, but few are chosen. I'm convinced that a lot of people are called to do certain things, but they never follow through with that. They're never one of the chosen ones. How many people do I know personally that were called into some kind of ministry for God and never actually fulfilled that calling? At the age of 12, Jesus spoke of his call, but he was not sent out until the age of 30. A calling must be followed with preparation. Sometimes, like Moses, is on the backside of a desert. God will prepare you and God will send you when he is ready to send. Does the life calling of a girl change when she gets married? No, the life calling of a girl should complement the life calling of the one she marries. In fact, that could be a determining factor in who she marries. She wants to marry somebody who has the same calling in life, same burdens, same ministry goals as she does. And does a life calling ever change? No, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. However, it can be expanded to include others, or it can be diminished because of disobedience. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Life callings and wise decisions. Your life calling is the most important. Of all the callings, other than the call of salvation, that comes your way. Do you know what your life calling is this morning? Do you know? Do you know what area of service God wants you in? We are all called to serve. We are all called to serve somewhere. We are all called to serve some people. Do you know? Do you know? If you don't know, let me just remind you of these things. Develop the mindset of a champion runner. In other words, be disciplined. John Wesley said, "Never seek a ministry, but the fruit of a disciplined life." The fruit from your discipline will open up your calling. Establish daily disciplines. Number two, embrace the power of the cross. Number three, consider the spiritual needs and concerns of your parents. Like Solomon, you might be asked to do what David could not do. You might be asked to do what your parents have dreamed about doing, but have not been able to. Evaluate the potential of your gifts. Be aware of the needs of fellow believers. You might be called to meet those needs. Confirm life callings with the rhemas of God's Word. And then just begin by fulfilling general life callings. Pray, read the Bible, give, attend church. If you're here today and you know what your life calling is, could I see your hand? Amen, you can put them down. You know, there are a lot of you here today that don't know what your life calling is. I would make that my immediate project in life to seek it out. God might not reveal it at this time. He might reveal it later on, but then again, He might. He might just let you know what it is. If you're here today and you could not raise your hand, would you simply tell the Lord, Lord, I want to know what my calling in life is. Would you reveal it to me? In your time and in your way, would you reveal that calling to me? Lord, I'm willing to do it. That's necessary. If you're not willing to do it, He might not reveal it to you. But are you willing to do whatever the Lord would ask of you? Father, we thank You that You are working on people's hearts and lives today. Lord, we know the life calling is so important because it will guide all our other decisions. I thank You for those that You have made aware to them their life calling. But I pray for those that do not know. I pray, Lord, that You would guide them and direct them, that You would acknowledge them, that they would acknowledge You in all their ways, and that You would direct their paths. I pray that You would give them clarity, give them direction, help them to understand Your will. Father, I come against Satan today and I bind him in the name and through the blood of Jesus because he would only want to cause confusion in this area. But Lord, You are not the author of confusion, but You are the God of order. You are the God with a plan. And we thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Could we stand? I know it's the hour is late, but we do eat here today, so that's one benefit, one plus. Let's sing that chorus the ladies are playing. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Hopefully we remember all the words. It's been a while. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross. Don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed
to say that you love Him.
To say that you love Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him.
Let's try it again.
Take up your cross and follow.
I would just like to encourage you, if you know somebody next week that's not saved, invite them. If you know somebody that you believe God has a call in their life and they've ignored that call, bring them. I want to talk next week about the consequences of knowing a call and not following through with that call. It's a serious matter. There's a high price to pay many times for that. I don't mean to scare you, but I want you to come and I want you to bring somebody next week. Bring somebody that's not saved, or bring somebody that is just not sold out for the Lord. They're saved by the skin of their teeth. And that is a biblical term, by the way. Job used that. Skin of your teeth. And with the Lord's help, we'll see what we can accomplish in their lives next week. George Lewis, would you dismiss the service in prayer and bless the food downstairs?
Lord, we just thank you so much for the cross, that you made that a priority in your life. And Lord, you didn't turn your back, but you went willingly to that cross. Thank you for that. Thank you. Oh Lord, we just ask a special blessing on these young people today that graduated this fall. Lord, that are taking a new step into adulthood, taking on new responsibility. Lead them and guide them. Lord, give them a heart that's diligent after you. They would strive to live and serve you. Father, we thank you for the abundant blessing downstairs. We just ask you to give us strength as we eat your blessings down there. Give us good fellowship. Keep us ever mindful of you. Show us your ways, Lord, that we may walk in your